Blog Talk Radio.
Matsuyama, who are both tied at 19 under par in this, the first event of 2015. In the 2014-2015 season, they are through seven golf holes, and they are both at 19 under par. They have a two-shot lead over a surging Jason Day and a three-shot lead over Brendan Todd. This on a day when Chris Kirk shot 62, and Chris Kirk currently, even though he shot 62 and set a course record and all that, is in 13th. That happens when you start the day in dead last. You can surge up the leaderboard, but you need a minor miracle to happen, and that will not be happening for any of these players today. So we'll keep you updated on what happens down in or out there in Hawaii as we continue over the next half hour. Simon David's going to call us. Join us, to talk about the BCS, the College Football Playoff National Championship game coming up in 2 hours and 30 minutes between his Ohio State Buckeyes and the Oregon Ducks. We have crazy coaching happenings in the National Football League. John Fox has mutually parted ways with with the Denver Broncos, and it believes that, and it is being reported, I'm trying to see who else has reported this, that the entire coaching staff has been let go. We'll see if that gets confirmed. If the entire coaching staff gets disbanded, you got to wonder what this means for the future of Peyton Manning in Denver. He obviously had the torn quad. He fought through it because that's what Peyton Manning does. He was not himself. That was very clear to all who saw it with their own two eyes. Now that Adam Gase is gone and Jack Del Rio is gone and John Fox is obviously gone, you wonder who's next. As one of my friends pointed out on Twitter, you wonder what would have happened if Rex had waited a day. So we'll see how this all shakes out as time goes on. We will see where the chips fall. If Rex had waited, a couple days, and you get into that scenario where, you're facing Buffalo or Denver with that defense, and you can entice Peyton to come back. All Rex even talked about was how good Peyton was and how much he loved Peyton Manning as a quarterback and the face of him, how he wished he was on his team. What happens here? If he had waited a day, we will always wonder that. I wonder if Rex is wondering that. Does Adam Gase go to San Francisco? Where does John Fox go? Did the Jets start placing a frantic call to John Fox? I thought it was Dan Quinn for a while, but does Dan Quinn not want to go there now? And as a result, he's going, could be elsewhere. And is that why they're bringing Todd Bowles back? And is that why they're bringing in Sean McDermott, the former Eagle defensive coordinator? Is that why they may be reaching out to somebody like a John Fox? We'll see how this all shakes out. It's going to be a crazy couple of days now with Jay Glazer's report officially becoming true, and also with this national championship game tonight and this golf tournament right here, which, as I said, is being co-led right now by Hideki Matsuyama and by Jimmy Walker. We are going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk about college football playoff national championship game between Ohio State and Oregon. This is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling, and we'll be back in 30 seconds.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA has been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA is doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
We are back on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling as we wait for Simon David to call in from Columbus, Ohio, as we prepare for the first ever college football playoff national championship game. This is what the humans wanted, and this is what the humans got. This is what the American people wanted. This is what Barack Obama wanted. This is what all these people in America who have always wanted a college football playoff asked for and received a playoff to determine who is the national champion. And after the semifinal game 11 days ago, we now have our two participants for the national championship game as we get set to battle out at the Jerry Jones Dome in Dallas, and we'll on this road to figure out who should be your national champion for 2015. We are waiting on Simon. As we wait, ESPN's in the midst of their 46,000 hour pregame show. As College Game Day has now morphed into the College Football Drive show with Reese Davis, Corso, Kirk Herbstreit, Desmond Howard. And it must be interesting to listen to these games and watch these games on college campuses. The energy, the intenseness, I cannot even imagine what it's like to be on these campuses when a game like this is going on. And we welcome in from Columbus, Ohio, it's Mr. Simon David. Good evening, Simon.
Hey, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm good. Let's back up for a second, because so much of this Ohio State team is about the journey. You lose Braxton Miller in the summer. What was your first thought when Braxton Miller is out for the year?
So once Braxton went down in August, we all thought, man, I guess we're going to have to wait until next year to make any noise. What a shame. I was happy I didn't put any prop bets in to win the title. We just thought it was going to be a lost year, Jeremy. And then JT Barrett stepped up, and the first two games versus Navy and then the loss versus Virginia Tech, I said, I don't know who this JT Barrett kid is, but who else is on the roster, because he looked horrible. Then, out of nowhere, as he started to learn the system and the playbook, he turned into a Heisman candidate quarterback right before our eyes. He grew up, you know, we felt like proud parents. I'm sure Urban felt like a proud father, seeing the development and evolution of JT Barrett come from this, you know, third. He was actually the third string behind Cardale Jones, and he kind of took the job. And then when he got hurt versus that team up north on the last game of the regular season, we said, okay, well, if we had a good run, he'll be back next year. You know, I'm still glad I didn't put that prop bet in. And then out came Cardale Jones versus Wisconsin during the Big Ten Championship. And I mean, what an impressive performance he's saw in the last two games. And now we're as confident as ever out here in Columbus. We don't think we could be stopped. Our defense has grown up as well. We got a young team, and we're sorry about that. And we're excited about tonight's game.
When you see JT Barrett go down, you know, was it like, oh, my God, this is happening again? Or by that point, seeing how Barrett progressed, and here you are, Big Ten championship game, all the, you know, just all the pressure to perform on the biggest stage, knowing that was your only ticket into the playoffs. Were the same negative thoughts in your mind, or just Urban?
Well, Urban plus the running game left you feeling a little better than you think. Ezekiel Elliott really turned into a powerhouse running back, replacing Carlos Hyde, who was drafted by the 49ers last year. And he really just took the bull by the horns and totally took advantage of the opportunity he was presented with, which was a run-heavy, you know, type of power option offense that he would have to operate. And Cardale Jones, I mean, you saw the tweet he did, I think a year ago or so, where he didn't come to school to come to Ohio State to play school. He came to play football, and thinking this is the guy that's going to win us the Big Ten championship game versus that Wisconsin defense. And then, you know, you fast forward 1 week, and this guy is throwing for a ton of yards, touchdowns, and we're beating Wisconsin 55-0. And he is just a massive human being. You know, he's able to just throw linebackers off of him, as you saw during the Alabama game, and he's not afraid to take a shot with his arm. He thinks he is one of the strongest arms in college football. And I don't know if anyone saw the warm-ups, but when he's warming up, he stands there flat-footed and throws the ball with the flick of his wrist 50 to 60 yards. It's scary how strong of an arm Cardale Jones has. So you couple that with his athletic ability and ability to run, and you know, he's a dangerous, dangerous weapon for Ohio State. So, you know, we have a good problem to have next year, it looks like, if all three are back in the fold.
Yeah. All right, so let's now fast forward to 10 nights ago. You are there in New Orleans. First of all, what was that atmosphere like? Because here you are, a playoff. This is unprecedented. Mm-hmm. This is essentially a Final Four semifinal game. You're in New Orleans, which is a wild place to begin with. It's New Year's, which is a wild place to be for New Year's. First of all, how was the atmosphere?
It was awesome, man. It was really great to be there. You had a lot of Ohio State people at first, and then I guess the Alabama fans kind of just drove over the two-hour drive and kind of all showed up at once when the night got started. And let me tell you, the Alabama whole presentation and their fans and the whole, you know, they have an intimidating, you know, team and a physical presence, and just their whole fan base is loud. They're passionate. It doesn't matter if they won the, you know, three national championships over the past few years. They were hungry. They wanted this one. You know, they were a great team. Don't want to take anything away from them, but we just kind of, when the team was down 21-6, the Ohio State side of the field was just, it was, you could hear a pin drop, and they were going crazy. And we thought, you know, a lot of us thought we were done at that point, but it looked like the team and Urban had other plans, and they never gave up. They believed in themselves. And, you know, I don't know what they're preaching in that locker room, but most teams would have, down 21-6, you know, second quarter, just kind of lay down and die, couldn't really stop them. Cardale looked a little nervous, and we just kept going. Ohio State just didn't give up. And that kind of, you know, ability to continue to fight and to believe and to not lay down, and really, I think, is going to carry us. We're going to use that momentum. Ohio State can use that momentum tonight and try to beat this Oregon Duck team. So that was one experience. So I got to say, if anyone ever has the opportunity to go to any bowl game, it really is a neat experience. I saw Adrian Peterson outside. We hung out, said hello, took a couple pictures. There was a ton of – Joe Namath was there. There was a ton of you know, alumni from both sides, as well as a lot of football-type celebrities.
Jimmy Walker has taken a one-shot lead after birding the eighth hole from 19 feet as they continue on in the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Simon, when you lost to Virginia Tech, a lot of people thought this team was gone, and then done, and then you had been disrespected by the committee up until the very end, basically, and then, mm-hmm. you know, snuck with that strong Big Ten championship game performance. Do you think that put a chip on their, like Urban, who is, you know, probably went.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think he used that all as motivation to help get you there tonight?
Absolutely, Jeremy. And don't forget, this team was 12-0 a couple years ago and had a bowl ban and couldn't show anybody in the world who they really were. And they still had a chip on their shoulder from that. And then last year, losing to Michigan State in the Big Ten Championship, losing to Clemson in the bowl game, it was just disappointing for Urban. You could kind of see in his face. He knows he had a better team than that showing, and he I think really wanted to show the country, like, this is a new breed of Big Ten football. This isn't, you know, the Big Ten during 2007, 2008, getting blown out in bowl games. This is, you know, they're fast. He recruits a lot of kids from the South. We're fast. We're strong. Ohio State is physical. And they're still a big underdog tonight. So don't forget that. They still have something to prove tonight, even after everything. And you have to think they're going to come out, expect some big plays from Urban, maybe some trick plays again like you saw at the end of the half, half ago in New Orleans. And look for ways to kind of try to confuse Mariota, because he's, you know, obviously an X factor for them. And if there's a way the defense could kind of confuse him, then I think Ohio State has just as good of a shot to win tonight than anybody against this powerful, powerful team.
They're about the first ever college football national championship game tonight between.
Jeremy, do you think this is the first ever real national champion? What's your opinion?
You know, I think that for the years where the BCS was pretty cut and dry, you know, there were two undefeated or there were two teams that were clearly above the best. National championship, I do think that if you want to look at it from the basketball sense of teams earning their way there,
yeah,
is obviously a process that forces you to earn it. I don't believe it's the first ever true national championship, no. And the flip side of that is the TCU fans who are saying, hold on a second, this can't be a true national championship until the field expands.
So still not right.
So I think that you've got multiple views on this in terms of what makes this a true national championship or not. What's your sense on that?
I'm sorry, what was the last thing you said?
What's your sense on this question?
Well, they're kind of Urban saying to the team, be a part of history, be a part of history. This is the first ever playoff. This is the first ever real proven method that where you could prove that you are the real national champion. There's a playoff system in place, there's a tournament, weren't just selected by a computer to be here. And this is unique because typically in a national championship, you have 3 weeks to prepare for the opponent. Keep in mind, we have, you know, it's what, 8-9 days? So usually that should be almost the underdog's advantage that, you know, getting right up there, ready to play. And we're excited, man. This town is excited. Columbus is excited. And, we're very confident. Everyone's very confident
here in Columbus, Ohio, about this game. Simon, you were probably sitting there, restaurant or maybe even inside the Sugar Dome watching on your phone. As you saw what Oregon did to Florida State and just methodically and systematically that high-tempo offense tear apart the undefeated defending national champions team, when you sat, what was your reaction watching the Oregon offense?
They're very impressive. They're very similar to our offense. They spread the ball around. They have a very, very fast team. They have a deep ball threat. They have a running threat. There's a lot they could do. And, as long as the defense is ready to go, I think it could be a high-scoring game. But I think that as long as we contain them, then Ohio State should be okay. But, yes, they are definitely going to be the toughest offense that this team has faced all season long. No doubt about that.
What's the key to this game tonight?
Execution. Execute Urban's playbook and don't turn the ball over. Win the turnover battle. They don't turn it over. We cannot beat ourselves. Florida State kind of beat themselves in the second half. We cannot beat ourselves and just play Ohio State Buckeye football, and hopefully this town will be celebrating tonight.
As somebody who knows this team inside and out as good as everybody else, as good as any, what's your expectation early on in the Ohio State firing on all cylinders or firing on all cylinders?
I think they're going to be excited to play. Look out for Joey Bosa on the defensive line. And then Washington are going to be, mixing it up a little bit, moving around. Look for him to come out firing. And if the defense makes some big plays like they did last week, that just, that momentum carries to the offense. And look for a couple of the Ohio State receivers. You haven't really seen Marshall, number 17, keep an eye on him tonight. He was contained by Alabama pretty well, and they abandoned him after a little bit. But watch out for his get-through play. That could go for a big play. It worked all season long. It didn't work against Alabama, but he could really fly. And look for Dontrell Wilson as well, who is from Oregon, and they kind of stole from there, number two. He also can make some big plays tonight.
What is the one thing that could undo this team? And what I mean by that is you've seen guys up next and up all year. Is there some player here, whether it's Jones, whether it's someone else, that you fear the big spotlight is too much for?
I don't know if that's the case. The venue I'm at is starting to fill in here with people, so it's getting a little harder to hear. But I think Urban lives for these type of moments. He loves the spotlight. He loves the limelight. This is his moment. He came to Ohio State because he knew he would be in national championship game, Big Ten championship game, and he wants to hoist the trophy tonight.
Is your brother there? He said he was going to come on. Is Danny?
Hold on one sec. It's a little hard to hear.
Hey, what's going on, Jeremy?
Hey, Danny, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? I'm getting ready for the big Buckeye game tonight. Let's go, Bucks.
Yeah. Where's your head at on this game? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling very confident. I don't have one nerve in my body, which is very rare for big games and big events. I'm so confident that I honestly think we're going to win, and I'm headed to campus. I never go to campus. That's why I think we're going to win, because I'll enjoy that party afterwards.
As you sit here right now, and I was saying this to Simon, when you lose your number one QB, when you lose your number two QB, was there any point in this whole journey when you said there's no way that this could actually happen? How surprised are you that these Buckeyes are here in this spot right now?
Honestly, I'm friggin' shocked. I did not think that the Buckeyes would even make the playoffs. I mean, once Brax went down, I thought it was over. JT Barrett looked awful in the first game. But, I mean, honestly, it's crazy. I'm shocked. I am shocked. And I think Urban Meyer is the best coach in college football history, because there's no other coach in this world that could go from the starting quarterback, lose him, go to a backup, amazing, who became amazing, lose him, and go to the third backup, who out of nowhere was just playing great, and go to the national championship. So, hey, I'm kind of shocked, man, but it's all meant to be.
As you sit here right now, where would a national championship rank in the recent history for Ohio State football?
I mean, this would be the biggest title we ever win. I mean, think about it. The adversity the team faced, you got to realize we're missing a lot of pieces. Noah Spence, one of the top defensive players in the country, isn't playing for us this year. He's off the team. Jamal Marcus isn't on the team. We lost a lot of guys that people don't know about. This is a young team, freshmen, sophomores, third-string quarterback. This will be the biggest national championship Ohio State has ever won. It will be legendary. Reason why? It's the playoffs. Never been the playoffs before either. So, I mean, I'm honestly super excited to watch the boys go out there and tear it up. The Zeke guy, I kind of like Zeke Elliott too, and I honestly think as long as Cardale Jones doesn't fumble the football or do anything crazy or doesn't get too jittery, the national title's ours.
Daniel David, thank you for giving your thoughts
yep.
on this.
No
and,
problem.
And have fun that. Come back on Simon.
All right. Good.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Simon, two more questions for you. Number one, what is your official prediction for tonight?
Ohio State.
And my final question for you, if that holds up and if that score happens, where does this national championship rank in the recent history for Ohio State football?
It takes over as the number one probably moment. I remember beating Miami, you know, two, a couple Rose Bowl wins, but this would ultimately jump the rank. There's just been, it's been over 10 years here. There's been two national championship runner-ups, which were major disappointments in 2007 and 2008, or 2006, 2007, depending on how you look at the year, which were major disappointments. And I think this would be, mind you, this would be only the start of our of the dynasty. So.
Oh, so you're saying there's a dynasty about to be started?
Yeah, this is the beginning. That's right, for Ohio State. So
we,
but yeah, we're confident.
We're confident now. We will see how it all plays out later. Simon David, thank you so much for taking time out of your celebrations to call in from Columbus, Ohio.
All right, Jeremy. OH.
Have fun. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
Simon David, and before that, during that was his brother, Daniel David. It's now a two-shot lead as they make the turn in Maui, as Jimmy Walker now has a two-shot lead over Hideki Matsuyama and three over Jason Day, who is running out of holes. Jason Day is going to he's got three holes left. He's probably going to have to birdie one of them, and here he is in the fairway at 16. Little soft arm pitch up there, and he'll give himself about 10 feet, I would say. Look, Chris Kirk shot that 62, by the way, making every putt inside 15 feet. That is strong putting. And that'll be it for this edition of Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. Enjoy the national championship game. We'll see how all this NFL coaching carousel stuff plays out. And who knows, by the time we talk for the Sunday sprint with Luke Morrow on Sunday, we could have head coaches all over the place. Have a great night, everybody. Enjoy the national championship game. And we will see you next week right here on Blog Talk Radio and the Golf News Radio Network.